You know, it really doesn't make any difference in this discussion, but I never heard where Charlie showed that the tree of the knowledge of the good and of good and evil was the devil. He never showed that. Never showed that. You know, like for example, he ended up by saying in his proof, and this we'll catch it and see if y'all were even listening. His final conclusive proof was he drove. The Bible says at the end of Genesis 3 that he drove out the devil. Is that what you said, or did you say he drove out the tree of knowledge of good and evil? Which one did you say he drove out? Both of them. Now everybody look at the end of Genesis 3. That was his conclusion. This was important to prove that the devil and the tree of knowledge of good and evil were the same. He said he drove them out at the end of Genesis 3. Let's see. Genesis 3:24. So he drove out the devil. That was the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Is that what he says? That's what he said at the end of his speech, that he drove out the devil and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. It doesn't say that. He said he drove out the man. You see? So y'all just listen to something like that, and a lot of you laugh. But the whole thing, he based his whole thing was that God drove out the devil and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And it doesn't say that. It said he drove out the man. Now, those verses he put up in the prophets there, I don't recall a single one of them saying that it was talking about the devil or the tree of knowledge of good and evil. He read through a bunch of verses. Not one of those verses were they in, most of them were in Ezekiel, right? Most of them were in Ezekiel. Not one verse mentioned the devil, Satan, or the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Not one. Not one of them referred to the devil by another name. Not one of them referred to the tree of knowledge of good and evil by another name. So how did he prove that from Ezekiel that the devil is the tree of knowledge of good and evil when not one verse he quoted even referred to the devil, much less named him? Not one verse even referred to the tree of knowledge of good and evil, much less named it. And then he came over to Genesis 3:24 and says, that says that the Bible, that says that God drove out the devil, the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And the very opposite is true. The very opposite is true. He left the tree of knowledge of good and evil in the garden, and he drove out Adam out of the garden, the man, and then he put some cherubims and a flaming sword so that Adam couldn't go back into the garden to eat of the tree of life. Now, what did it have to do with the issue we're discussing? I have no earthly idea. Do you? I don't. I don't have any earthly idea what all that had to do with the discussion tonight. Because I can't figure out how that proves that we get a sinful nature from Adam. Even if the devil is the tree of knowledge of good and evil, how does that prove we get a sinful nature from Adam? It just doesn't follow. It just doesn't follow. Now, you know, many times in the Bible, we have something, perhaps Kent over here, somebody else can help me with this. We have a figure, two different types of figure of speech that are real similar. One is like when you say something is something and you're making a comparison, and then you say something is like something. One of those is a similitude. Do you remember what the other one's called? Okay, I don't remember either, but it's a figure of speech. And they're very similar. What? A metaphor. That's it. One is when you say he is something. Like, for example, say you were talking about this big, gigantic football player and you said he's a bear. You don't literally mean he is a bear, a black bear, a grizzly. You mean that he plays football like a bear. Or you could just say, he plays football like a bear. One of those is a similitude and one's a metaphor, okay? Let me give you an example of one that's a classic example that we see a lot of times. In Luke chapter 13, verse 32, we're talking about Herod in verse 31. They said, Herod's going to seek to kill thee. And he says, Jesus says, go ye and tell that fox, referring to Herod. Now, according to Charlie's reasoning, because the Bible talks about, there's an analogy made in Matthew 7 about false teachers, and it says a good tree bears good fruit, and a bad tree bears bad fruit, and that's how you tell a false teacher whether he's good and bear fruit. All that is an analogy. He's not saying a false teacher is a tree. He's saying, in the same way you tell a tree if it's good or bad, by whether it has good or bad fruit, you tell if a teacher is good or bad by the fruit that he bears. It's an analogy. But according to Charlie's reasoning here, because Jesus calls Herod a fox, Herod, this king, or whoever he was, this Herod had four legs and a snout and kind of brown fur running around trying to kill Jesus. So Jesus was out in the wood being chased by a literal fox, because it says, you go tell that fox. No, that's either a metaphor or a similitude. I'm not sure which. But it's not saying that Herod is a literal fox It's saying Herod is like a fox. It could mean that he's kind of sneaky, and that's the point that Jesus is making. That he's sneaky like a fox. I'm not 100% sure. So you can't look at metaphors and similitudes in the Bible and conclude that Herod's a fox. And that's the mistake Charlie made. But suppose, as I said before, I admitted that the devil was the tree of knowledge of good and evil. You know, anybody, child that knows, let me finish my sentence. Suppose I admitted it. It wouldn't prove this proposition. I'd have nothing to do with it. But any child knows that in that garden, you had the tree of life. Now, that was a tree. It was a literal tree, but God had given it some supernatural powers. There was a tree of knowledge of good and evil. Same thing. The devil was not the tree of knowledge of good and evil. The devil was in the form of a serpent, a beast of the field. Mark, look that up for me. It's in the book of Revelation where it says that old serpent, the devil. Use the concordance if you need to. It's in the book of Revelation. It says that old serpent, the devil, referring to the serpent in Genesis 1, 2, and 3. Find that for me, Mark. Thank you, Charlie. Revelation chapter 20, verse 2. Now, every one of you laughed when I said the devil was in the form of a beast of the field, the serpent. Now, Revelation 20, verse 2, notice it doesn't say the devil is the tree of knowledge of good and evil. It says that old serpent, which is the devil. Do you see that? That's what God says. That the serpent, in the creation account, the temptation of Adam and Eve, the serpent was the devil. After all, the devil is the one that tempts. Sometimes through people, but the devil is the father of the temptation, of the tempters. He is the final source of the temptation. And it says the devil was the serpent, not the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Do you see that? Now, you can accept what the Bible says on that or not. Now, that, it seems like a silly point to me to have to make. I thought everybody knew that the serpent was the devil in that story. When I say story, it's a true story. I don't mean that. But the account of Adam and Eve being tempted by the serpent, the Bible says the serpent was the devil. Didn't everybody already know that? Who convinced you that the devil was the tree of knowledge of good and evil when the Bible says that the serpent was the devil? You are sorely mistaken. Now, does it matter in this discussion? No, not at all, except for this point. If you, please, with all due respect, if you're gullible enough to accept when somebody tells you that the devil was the tree of knowledge of good and evil and the Bible says that the devil was the serpent, you might be gullible enough to accept that we get our sinful nature from Adam, even though the Bible says that God made man upright, but they have sought out many inventions. You just might be gullible enough to admit that. Now, how hard is it to see from Revelation 20, verse 2, that old serpent, which is the devil? Satan. It doesn't say that old tree of knowledge of good and evil, which is the devil, Satan. Nowhere says that. Now, Charlie finally responded to my point about Adam. Remember, Charlie had said, we sin because we have this sinful nature. And I said, well, then why did Adam sin that very first time? Charlie came back and said, you correct me if I'm wrong, you said the sinful nature caused him to fall. Is that what you said? Did his sinful nature cause him to sin? Okay, so you're saying he had the sinful nature before he sinned. Did he have the sinful nature before he sinned? Yes, can you answer that yes or no? All right, you did. But earlier, Charlie said, and I got this quote down the best I can, he said that the sinful nature came as a result of the fall. Now, those are almost exact words. I wrote them down as good as I could. He said that the sinful nature of Adam came as a result of the fall. Now, when we say the fall, we're referring to the temptation and the sin. You see, he believes, like the Calvinists, according to his first statement, that Adam got the sinful nature because of the fall. That means after. Now he's saying, because of pressure from me, he says that Adam had the sinful nature before he sinned. Now, which one is it? Now, so I'm going to ask again, not for you to answer literally this time, but I'll ask for the audience, which was it? Did Adam have this sinful nature before he sinned the first time? If yes, where did he get it? Remember, he says we get our sinful nature from Adam. If Adam had it before the fall, as he just said from his seat, Where did he get that sinful nature? Where did he get it? Did he get it from God? Well, obviously not, because the Bible says God made man upright. If he had the sinful nature before he sinned, where did he get it? So God created him that way. God created him with a sinful nature. So God gave it to him. God gave him a sinful nature. Now, if not, if he didn't have a sinful nature before he sinned, why did he sin? He sinned without a sinful nature, then you can sin without a sinful nature. In Isaiah 53, verse 6, the Bible says, "All we like sheep have gone astray." We go astray. We're not born that way. Romans 3:12, "They are all gone out of the way." We go out of the way. We're not born that way. Genesis 6, verse 12, "And God looked upon the earth, and it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth." Who corrupted his way? They corrupted themselves. Charlie's position is we're corrupt. We have this sinful nature because of Adam. The Bible says we corrupt our own way. And we've already read Deuteronomy 32, verse 5. It says they have corrupted themselves. Not Adam. We're not corrupt. We don't have this, quote, sinful nature because of Adam. We corrupt ourselves. When we sin, we are corrupt. It's our choice. Not because of anything we got from Adam, though. 2 Peter 2:15, "They have forsaken the right way and are gone astray." The reason we are estranged from God, astray, is because we forsake the right way. We have gone astray. It's not because of Adam, it's because of we. We did it. Charlie tried to blame it the whole night on Adam. You can't do it. It's your fault if you sin. You're responsible for your own sin. You cannot be making excuses for your sin like people do. Oh, the guy committed murder. He says, "Well, it's because my parents spanked me when I was young." You see, he's blaming his murder on the fact that his parents spanked him 20 years before. You say, that's absurd. We all can see that. That's absurd. Put him in jail. Give him life. Or give him the electric chair. He murdered somebody. This is ridiculous to say, well, his parents spanked him when he was little, so let him out. That's what Charlie's doing. Charlie's saying you sinned because of Adam. He's trying to transfer the blame from you, or myself, because I sinned, to Adam. Because Adam gave us the sinful nature. It's just like the young man who commits murder and said it's because his parents spanked him when he was little. There's no difference between what he's saying and what Charlie's saying. How can you swallow something that absurd? You won't in real life. And now you have the Bible teaching you that spiritually it's absolutely false, yet you still swallow it. Just like you swallowed what he said about the devil being the tree of knowledge of good and life, and the Bible clearly says the serpent was the devil. Clearly. And yet you swallowed it anyway. I love you. I'm being very pointed right now, but it's not because I don't like you. It's because I'm trying to wake you up to the truth. You know, I need to keep an open mind myself. We all do. And sometimes, Pat, we all fall into this trap of being, we've been this way so long, 10 or 20 years, that it's just hard for us to change. We just closed our mind. We all got to fight that. You've got to open up your mind to what the Bible says without any shadow of a doubt. It doesn't matter what you've ever believed in the past, but when the Bible says, all right, let me ask you a question. I was going to say, what the Bible says, God has made men upright. How can you just reject it like that when you believe that's God's word? I want to ask you a question. Suppose God had wanted to say that Charlie's doctrine tonight is false. Suppose he had wanted to say that. Can you think of any way he could have said it clearer than Ecclesiastes 7:29? Can anybody come up to me after the debate? Suppose God had wanted to tell us that we don't have a sinful nature and we don't get it from Adam. I want you to tell me how God could have said it any clearer than Ecclesiastes 7:29, that God made man upright, but they have sought out many inventions. Can you think of a way he could have said it any clearer? I can't. Because, see, upright and sinful nature are the very opposites in the context of our debate. They're the very opposites. And again, let me remind you, it's not talking about he just made Adam upright. Now we realize even that it couldn't mean that according to Charlie, because he doesn't even believe that God made Adam upright. He made him with a sinful nature. He said tonight and just now that Adam had the sinful nature when he was created, before he ever sinned. So he doesn't even believe that Adam was created upright. Who was created upright then? God made man upright, but they, that's all of us, sought out many evil devices. He made all of us upright without a sinful nature. No, Calvinism is not right that we're born guilty of Adam's sin. Charlie will agree. And Pratt is not right when he says we are born with Adam's sinful nature. It's just as wrong. They're both just as wrong for the same reason. God has made man upright, but they have sought out many inventions. Now, every speech, at least twice, except for this speech, I hadn't done it yet, so this will be the first time in this speech. Every speech, at least twice, I have brought up Jesus. And Charlie has chosen not to respond to it. Remember the reasoning. We get our sinful natures from Adam. Well, okay, because we're a descendant of Adam. That's the reasoning. Guess who else was a descendant of Adam? Jesus. Now remember, the reason we sin is because we have that sinful nature. Now if that's true, I don't believe that, that's Charlie's position. If that's true, that means that if a person didn't sin, that would prove he didn't have a sinful nature. Right? So since Jesus didn't sin, that proves he didn't have a sinful nature. Now, I think Charlie would agree that Jesus didn't have a sinful nature. But even if he doesn't, I just proved that he didn't. Because according to Charlie's reasoning, you sin because you have a sinful nature. Jesus did not sin. I know he agrees with that. Therefore, he couldn't have had a sinful nature. Now, in Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14, it says, as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he, Jesus, also himself likewise took part of the same. Jesus was made just like us. Now, when you say Jesus was made like us, that means we were made like him. And then Hebrews 2:17 says, wherefore in all things it behooved him, Jesus, to be made like unto his brethren. That's us. That means we were made like him. Yet Jesus didn't have a sinful nature. That means we don't have a sinful nature. And then with respect to dealing with sin, and that's why we're talking about this sinful nature. With respect to dealing with sin, the Bible says that Jesus was tempted like as we are, Hebrews 4:15, yet without sin. Jesus was tempted just like we are. You know, some of the young men here have a lot of temptations. Drugs, women, nudity, pornography. We all have temptations. You know, Jesus had temptations in his day. He may not have had the internet and the temptations on that. They didn't have computers. But they had women. They probably had some sort of drugs. They had alcohol. He had all kinds of temptations before him. We know that. He was tempted in all points like as we are. Yet he never sinned. Why? He's a descendant of Adam. According to Charlie's reasoning, if he's a descendant of Adam, he got the sinful nature and he had to sin. Nobody has yet to explain that to me. If we've got a sinful nature from Adam, then why didn't Jesus have it? And if he had it, why didn't he sin? This is, I believe, the seventh or eighth time I brought this up. Charlie has yet to even respond to it. Why? Because there's no way to deal with it. I mean, there's just no way to deal with it. What are you going to say? Are you going to say that Jesus had a sinful nature? Then you've got a problem. If he has a sinful nature, why didn't he sin? That's the problem for Charlie. He's in trouble because he's already said you sin because you have a sinful nature. If he says Jesus doesn't have a sinful nature, then I'll say, well, why do we have one? Because it says he's made just like we are. God made man upright, but they have sought out many inventions. How much time, Mr. Souter? Again, I repeat myself for emphasis. If God had wanted to make my position in this debate, if he had wanted just to tell you that plain and simple, how could he have said it any clearer than what he said in Ecclesiastes 7:29? If he had wanted to do it, I can't think of a way. I cannot think of a way he could have said it any clearer than Ecclesiastes 7:29. And if anybody can, please tell me, what would he have had to have said if he wanted to convince you, God, I'm talking about, that man does not have a sinful nature from Adam? What would he have had to have said that would be any clearer than Ecclesiastes 7:29? Now, again, let me get back to my appeal. You know, Matthew 15:9, you have to, if you follow the commandments of men, you worship as in vain, you don't have God, you can't go to heaven. If you don't abide in the teaching of Christ, 2 John verse 9, you don't have God, you can't go to heaven. Why is this so important? Because you nice, honest, sincere people are following the commandments of men. And that means you cannot go to heaven. I love your soul. I want you to change so that you can go to heaven. I'm doing my best to try to be obedient to God to go to heaven, and I want you to do the same because I love you so much. That's why I came here. I appreciate the opportunity to speak to you so much. I'm not really a very good debater, but I'm going to take any opportunity I can take to speak to people. And thank you so much for giving me the opportunity. Now, please heed what I'm saying. You've got to change and believe what the Bible says to go to heaven. Thank you for allowing me to suggest that to you. I love you.